Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David. This is the 12th Hour First College Sabbatarian Congregation outside of 12th Hour Liberty, York, Texas. Today is August 8, 2017, or it is the 17th day of April 2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, Now Belong to Yahshua. Yahshua, my Savior, will love me forever. Come him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Yahshua. Yahshua belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. What sorrows lost in sin's degradation, Yahshua came down to bring me salvation. Lifted me from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Yahshua. Yahshua belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Joyful's my soul, for Yahshua has saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood he gave to me day. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Yahshua. Yahshua belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Part 2, River of Ezekiel's Vision. We're on page 291, Shepherd Rod, Volume 2, but let's do a little review from our last study. Wherefore, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Yahshua, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now, this is Yahshua coming to the threshold of the door of the temple at the beginning of the judgment of the living. Okay, and that judgment began at the Passover 2002, and this is when Yahshua showed up and admonished his anointed, the house of David, those that was raised up in the house of King Saul, Brother W. Johnson's house, for 32 years. He says, come out from among them, be ye separate, and I will receive you. Touch no unclean thing. So, therefore, we started our exit at the Passover 2002. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater. So, you know, it's so sad to say, but that fit the description of our leadership down in Kermit, what I just read to you. I didn't realize this completely until after I was there, and after I had left there in 2003, I didn't realize wholly that this was a total description of Gilead's sinner. And I'm going to read that again. That no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man. He's talking about the leadership. And then those that are associated with him or her, who is an idolater. And we know, number one, that they were idolaters. Because I practice idolatry with them, I know, because I didn't know the difference. I just followed the leader for 32 years. I just follow the leader, or for at least 30 years. So I know that's true. Hath any inheritance in the kingdom of the Yahshua and of the Father. That no man deceive you with the vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of Yahweh upon the children of the disobedient. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Yahshua. Yes, it's true. For 32 years we were ended up in total darkness. They did, but we didn't. There was that escape there of the house of David. But I saw the light glimmering through off and on for 32 years. I saw the light spring up, and I saw the darkness also. Walk as children of the light, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful workers of the darkness. So, all you had to do is go count all your new people that you invited to come into the congregation over the years, and take pictures of them going through the baptismal fountain with Brother Johnson baptizing, and then watch them all go out the same door they came in and leave and says, I'm never coming back. That happened all through the years. And we asked them, why? I just can't take that woman anymore. I just can't take that. I can take her husband. I can't take that woman. And that was a testimony more times than not. They said, but rather reprove them. Ephesians 5, 5, 8, and 11. Yahweh is able to heal the soul and the body, but he will not heal the latter before he has healed the former. Sin first, then uncleanness. I will also save you from all of your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. Ezekiel 36, 29. For the power that is able to wash away the filthiness of any man is open unto the house of David. So, we know now that the house of King Saul, Gilead sinner, that the scriptures disapproved of there being any virtues, healing virtues at all there at that place. And to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and is represented by the fountain of the Zechariah's prophecy. I know that we have a healing ministry. I know that because we have been applying the salve, and it's literally a salve. It's called the balm of Gilead. And we have been applying that salve, I know, at least 18 years, and it's gone out all over the world to people that have ordered it, and they've been healed by it. Testimonies after testimonies, hundreds of testimonies from all the United States and the world, South America. We have silently sent this balm of Gilead out to those that requested it. And so therefore we do know that there is a healing coming from the house of David. We know that because the fountain has been opened. So we're in the process of doing everything, my wife and I, to make ourselves 100% healthy. And so it's an ongoing process for everyone until that day when we behold our Savior in the person. We'll keep striving for the perfection, and we, like Paul said, I strive for the mark. Says Ezekiel, in the 25th year of our captivity, and in the 14th year after that the city was smitten, in the selfsame day the hand of Yahweh was upon me and brought me thither. Ezekiel 40, verse 1. As recorded in the 47th chapter, Ezekiel was shown in vision certain particulars of the temple building some years before the Israelites were made free from the Babylonian captivity. It has been previously explained that the temple erected after the captivity was the type of this particular church in the time of the loud cry. Well, we represent this congregation, House of David, as being this this church that has been designated to herald the loud cry, to announce the impending approach of the loud cry. And it's in this 12th hour. That's the time it's talking about, the last parabolic hour. So let's read that again. It has been previously explained that the temple erected after their captivity was a type of this particular church in the time of the loud cry, hyphen, House of the David. There it is right there. Plain sight right before your eyes. Written by the prophet D.T. Holliff. Therefore, the river coming out from the temple according to Ezekiel's vision is applicable at this time, and is but the expansion of this fountain that is to be in the house of the David. The temple from this fountain flows the mighty river seen in Ezekiel's vision. Counsels on the Health, page 210. Thus far we have explained the application of this fountain, the place and the time also, that the mighty river seen in Ezekiel's vision flows from it. Now we shall study the meaning of this mighty river. So now that we have nailed down the proof on this prophecy, that we are at the headwaters of this mighty river, and that when it starts to flowing, it starts out as a little rivulet in the sanctuary. And when it goes underneath the door, it goes out and exposes itself to the world. And it makes a little stream, and the stream gets wider and deeper as it goes along. And then it develops into a mighty river. Mighty river. And it's a healing river. And it will go completely around the world. This river will. And there'll be banks upon each side of the river. And there'll be trees growing upon the banks. Now, this river starts here at the house of David in the sanctuary, and it goes out to the sea. So figuratively speaking, the sea, the ocean, represents eternity. So this river that flows, it starts flowing here, and he says, I'm going to gather people out of all nations to come to my holy mountain. Well, where does this holy mountain set up to gather the Gentiles from all over the world? It's not set up in Israel and Jerusalem, because he says, I'm going to gather them out of the nations wherein they have been scattered and bring them into the wilderness of the people. That's in Ezekiel 20, I believe. In Ezekiel 20, starting with verse 29, it says, Then I said unto them, What is the high place whereunto ye go? And the name thereof is called Bama unto this day. Wherefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the sovereign Yahweh, Are ye polluted after the manner of your fathers, and commit ye whoredoms after their abominations? Now, they committed whoredoms. Today, Adventist Church is still committing whoredoms, even though they've been cut off. for the most part. They committed in whoredoms, just like we read about here. And Gilead sinned, and the Reubenites did the same thing. I will say, I don't believe Beit Yehoshaphat and all of his followers, the 25 years that he was alive, from 1930 to 1955, I believe that he hewed the line, just like Ellen G. White did. Those that faithfully followed her counsel, they were in good shape. Just like those that followed Beit Yehoshaphat's counsel faithfully for 25 years. But once Beit Yehoshaphat died, then the floodgates opened for all these abominations to come into the house of Judah. Come into the house of Judah. Now, it says, for when you offer your gifts, here says in Ezekiel 20, verse 31, when you make your sons to pass through the fire, you pollute yourself with all your idols, even unto this day, and shall I be imparted by you, O house of Israel? As I live, saith the sovereign Yahweh, I will not be inquired of by you. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all, that ye say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries, to serve wood and stone. As I live, saith the sovereign Yahweh, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm, with fury poured out, will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people, and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered, with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people. That's verse 35, Ezekiel 20. And there will I plead with you face to face. Now, when they came out of Egypt, and they crossed the Red Sea, into the wilderness, where they spent the next 40 years because of their unfaithfulness backsliding. They came to Kadesh Barnea. They came to Mount Sinai. They got the law. They was there 3 months, and they apostatized. And they were. So that wilderness was on the west side of Jordan. Now the promised land of Israel is on the east side of Jordan, and north of Mount Sinai, and the wilderness, the desert, it's called the Sinai Desert. That's where the children of Israel spent 40 years wandering in that wilderness. Now that wilderness of the people represents all the land here in the United States, which is out geographically outside of, which is west of the Jordan River. Everything west of the Jordan River today, going west across the Atlantic Ocean, towards America, is called the wilderness of the people. Okay? So we are in the wilderness of the people, raising up the everlasting kingdom of heaven here in the Western Hemisphere. Oh, folks, we've got a grand and awesome opportunity here to watch the whole Western Hemisphere clamor for this here kingdom that's being set up right here at the headwaters in Liberty Hill, Texas. All right, let's look at it. He says in Ezekiel 20:35, and I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. Who is that you plead with who face to face? He's talking about those that are candidates to be saved, that are of the house of Israel. The Gentiles, no doubt, did many of them. But Gentiles are none other but the brothers to the Jews. They're all Hebrew Israelites, first and second class. Like as I plead with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the sovereign Yahweh. Now that 40 years in the wilderness, believe it or not, there's a lot of Egyptians that made it through that 40 years in the wilderness with the children of Israel. We don't think about that, but that's exactly true. It was a great multitude of them. Those Egyptians today represents Gentiles. Think about it. So now here he is again. He's going to bring them back into the wilderness of the people, out of the bondage of sin, out of spiritual Egypt. And he's going to bring Jew and Gentile. He's going to bring them all, like he brought them out of Egypt. Co-mingled between the Hebrew Israelites and the Egyptians. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. So he's going to cause this whole mixed multitude of Hebrew Israelites, both Jew and Gentile, and the 10 tribes. It's going to be the whole 12 tribes of Israel, people that are candidates for the 12 tribes of Israel, and all of these Gentiles. And I will purge out from among you the rebels. Now, our former administration here, governmental administration, opened up our borders. For 28 years, the former administrations running our government, starting with George Bush Sr. in 1989, opened up our borders and made a deal with our neighbors south of our borders here. As you can get, our borders would be open. You just freely flow across them into our land. And we'll make a deal with you. You furnish us all the dope that we need and that we want, and we'll give you the whole United States. Now, this is George Bush Sr., 1989, President of the United States, made this deal with Mexico. He made it with the Vice President of Mexico. He said, you furnish us all the cocaine and dope, and you run that to us through Panama, and you run it to us at Washington, D.C., and you run it to Branson, Missouri, that's in the middle of the United States, and you run that stuff to Arkansas. We have distributing points here in the United States, and you bring it in any way you can, and you can go into all of our cities with your dope. You can set up headquarters right here in every one of our cities and have satellites and have distributors selling this dope. If you'll give us all the dope, then we'll let you have the run of America. So, now we got a new administration, Donald Trump. He says, no, I'm purging out all the dope out of this land. I'm purging out all the criminal element out of this land and all the illegal immigrants out of this land. I'm purging out everything. It's a daunting task, but I will do it. I can do it. I know how to do it. I will do it. And this shook our neighbors up south of the border like there's no tomorrow. So when Donald Trump gets through doing his job, it's going to take him 8 years. But when he gets through doing that, he's going to purge them all, the bad element, out of this country. And what's going to be left? It's going to be the clean people. There may not be very many of them, but they're going to all be clean of all their defilement. That's what's going to be left. So Yahweh started this purging here in the United States with the President of the United States, Donald Trump. Well, it was the presidents of the United States, three of them in a row, George Bush Sr., Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, George Bush Jr., and Obama. It was four presidents in a row over a 28-year period of time that opened up our borders to destroy America. And now Yahweh is calling a man to reverse this whole situation. And so, that right there is a form of bringing them into the wilderness of people, because when they come in from all over the world here in Ezekiel 20, verse 38, it says, verse 37, and I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the barn of the covenant. So he's going to give it all of these elements of people, Jew and Gentile, going to bring them into the wilderness of people here in the United States, going to cause them to pass under this rod, and bring them into the barn of the covenant, the everlasting covenant that we represent, and I will purge out from among you the rebels. Now this you is the house of David that's in charge of Yahweh's government, and all the people that come in to this house has to account to the head of this house. That's what there was in the type. When David was set up king over Israel, they all had to count to him. They all had to report to him. Even the heathen kings that was outside the borders of Israel, they became converted, and they reported unto David. And it took David 40 years to get those kings subdued and make peace with them. So when Solomon had his kingdom, which was the kingdom of his father for 40 years, all those kings that David had made peace with and subdued became allies to Solomon. And they helped him build a temple, and they supplied him material for it and everything else. So, it says, and I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. And I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. So where are you going to leave them? He's going to leave them in the wilderness here in the United States. That's going to become utterly desolate one day. He's going to leave all these rebels, so clamoring want to come in here to the United States. He's going to leave them all if they don't come under the rod and the bond of the covenant and join the everlasting kingdom of heaven, become purified and sanctified. All right. As for you, O house of Israel, thus saith the sovereign Yahweh, go ye, serve ye every one his idols, and hereafter, also if you will not hearken unto me, but pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. For in mine holy mountain, in the mountain of the house of Israel, saith the sovereign Yahweh, there shall all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, serve me. There will I accept them, and there will I require your offerings and the first fruits of your oblations with all your holy things. So, Yahweh has sent a rescuer into the United States. He had that rescuer waiting and preparing that rescuer. He'd been here for Donald Trump had been here 70 years. He grew up right here in the United States. Yahweh had prepared him from his birth for 70 years to do what he's doing right now. And so, it says in Ezekiel 20:41, and I will accept you with your sweet savor when I bring you out from the people. So when did he start this exodus? When did Yahweh start this exodus? When he sent Yahshua to the threshold of the house at Kermit, Texas, 2002, at the Passover. That's when he started the antitypical exodus out of Egypt. Out of antitypical spiritual Egypt today. That's when he started it. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse about 17, talks about this, where he gave the call, come out and be ye separate and touch no unclean thing. He called them. He calls them out of Babylon. When did that call of Revelation 18:4 begin? It began at Kermit, Texas, at the Passover 2002. That's when that call to come out of Babylon was sounded, right there at the threshold of the house at Passover. I will accept you with your sweet savor when I bring you out from the people and gave you out of the countries wherein you have been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. And you shall know that I am the Yahweh when I shall bring you into the land of the Israel, into the country for the which I lifted up mine hand to give it unto your fathers. And there shall you remember your ways and all your doings, wherein you have been defiled, and you shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that you have committed. And you shall know that I am the Yahweh when I have wrought with you for my name's sake, not according unto your wicked ways, nor according unto your corrupt doing, O you house of Israel, saith the sovereign Yahweh. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward the south, and drop thy word toward the south, and prophesy against the forest of the south field, and say unto the forest of the south, this is the land of the tribe of Judah, the lion. This is his lair. Hear the word of Yahweh. Thus with the sovereign Yahweh, behold, I will kindle a fire in thee, and it shall devour every green tree in thee, and every dry tree. The flaming fire, a flame, shall not be quenched, and all faces from the south to the north shall be burned therein. And all flesh shall see that I, the Yahweh, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. Then said I, all sovereign Yahweh, they say of me, doth he not speak parables? Ezekiel said, they're telling me that I'm speaking in parables. They don't understand a thing I'm talking about here. That is, those without inspiration, that is, of the heathen. So those that understood, they took heed. Let's continue. Shepherd Rod, Volume 2, page 291. Ezekiel 47, verse 1. Afterwards he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar, as the waters came from the south side of the altar and then went toward the east. He shows clearly that they proceeded from the north, which symbolically denotes that whatever the meaning of the waters may be, they come from the throne of the Yahweh. For it is in the size of the north. Isaiah 14:14, Psalms 48:2. And Psalms 75:6. While Ezekiel's attention was turned unto the interior where he first saw the waters, he said, then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way unto the other gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankle. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. For the no, it brought me through. For the waters were unto the Lord. Afterwards he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. He said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return unto the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. That will be brought into eternity. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither. But they shall be healed, and everything shall live where the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from En-Gedi even unto En-Eglaim. There shall be a place to spread forth the nets. The fish shall be according unto their kind, as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But the marred places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt, and by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaves shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. They shall bring forth new fruit according unto his month, because their waters are issued out of the sanctuary. And the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Ezekiel 47:2-12. It will be noticed that as Ezekiel first saw the waters by the side of the altar, they were of little significance in comparison with that which he saw outside the gate. As a tiny rivulet immediately swells into a mighty river, it represents something of very rapid growth. These waters denote the same as the waters in Revelation 17:15, peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. For the angel said unto Ezekiel, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed, Ezekiel 47:8. Therefore, these waters represent a very great multitude which no man could number, that shall be healed from sin and disease, saved in the time of the loud cry through the ministry of the house of David. Here's that house of David again. The church, all right, the church that took over that from the Seventh-day Adventist church, the mother church, in the 12th hour. The mother church only occupied the 10th and 11th parabolic hour, and one of her daughters, the house of David, with the 144,000, occupies the 12th parabolic hour. As Ezekiel could not swim this river, the symbol is in the perfect harmony with Revelation 7:9. A great multitude which no man could number, of all the nations and kindreds and people and tongues, clothed with the white robes and palms in their hands. Note that the reason the waters are healed is because they are brought forth into the sea. If the mighty river represents the saints from the earth, then the sea must be a symbol of the sinless world, inhabitants in the universe of Yahweh. As the river is brought into the sea, It denotes that the saints shall come into contact with the eternal nation who know not sin. And being brought forth, we must be healed before we meet each other. The facts of this symbol prove that this is the last section of Yahweh's church, the Seventh-day Adventist church. So, how many sections does the Seventh-day Adventist church have? Three sections. Three feeding pastures. Three steps of the genuine movement of the Seventh-day Adventist. The three steps were during the 10th and the 11th parabolic hours. And we represent the fourth step, the fourth section. The house of David represents the fourth section, the 144,000, as members of the house of David, represents the fourth section. The church that shall be translated without tasting death. So we are the owners of the church that shall be translated without tasting death. Get ready, get ready, get ready. We are now on the, standing on the winds of eternity, life that shall never cease. So, the shepherd rod then, we're standing on the winds of eternity, and Yahweh's true congregation of Israel has been on the march ever since 1930. The waters that make up this mighty river represents a multitude of the saints endowed with the healing power from the throne of Yahweh. For the word said, and everything shall live whether the river cometh. Ezekiel 47:9, last part. This healing is not indefinite, but permanent. For we read, it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live eternally. So everybody that's touched by this river shall live eternally. If the angel had measured three times 1,000 cubits, says Ezekiel, and he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? And he brought me and caused me to return unto the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. And by the river up on the bank thereof, said the angel, on this side and on that side shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaves shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according unto his mouth, because their waters are issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for the value of the leaves, and the fruit of these trees is identical. The same as the tree of the life according to Revelation 22:2, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of the fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. For the significance is that the church of the Yahweh, house of David, is endowed with the power from the throne to offer life eternal with no taste of death unto those who accept the truth and are willing to become a part of this mighty river, as this is the only section of Elohim's congregation that has been granted the authoritative gospel of the permanent healing and life everlasting. The word declared, he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as the David, and the house of David shall be as Yahweh, as the angel of Yahweh before them. Zechariah 12:8. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither. And it shall come to pass that the fishes shall stand upon it from Engedi even unto Eglion. Their fish shall be according unto their kind, as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. Ezekiel 47:9-10. The fish represents those who are to be converted unto the congregation of Israel, the house of David, which is represented by the river. And everything shall live whether the river cometh. Ezekiel 47:9. The ministry is symbolized as the fishes. And Yahshua said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Mark 1:17. For the apostles at one time left the gospel net and ceased to be fishers of men as they went fishing for gain. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Yahshua stood on the shore. And Yahshua said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. John 21:3-6. Success never fails when the command of the master is obeyed. If the ministry had been constantly inquiring of Yahshua where and how to cast the net, there would have been a multitude of fish, converts, and never a lack of the meat, means. For the forefront of the house stood towards the east, Ezekiel 47:1. The position of the house proves that it represents a true worship, for thus Elohim's chosen people were instructed to build their temples. Israel worshiped Yahweh with their backs toward the east to remind them that they should have no respect for sun worship and idolatry. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out towards the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea. Ezekiel 47:8. It is remarkable to note how perfect these symbols are in each instance. This direction of the compass denotes that the message of the loud cry is to start eastward when it is first revealed. The congregation membership being largely east of California and across the Atlantic, naturally the message must start toward the east. This symbolical prophecy reveals that the message of the loud cry is to originate in California, thus fulfilling the prophetic words of the spirit of prophecy in a letter unto Elder E.E. Andros. I feel confident, Elder Andros, that the brethren in Southern California will find a blessing in revealing the teachings of the scriptures concerning the 144,000 and bring to bear upon these teachings whatever light there may be in the published writings of the spirit of prophecy. And as prayerful consideration is given the matter in all its bearings, I believe that Yahweh will make the truth sufficiently clear to make possible the avoidance of the needless and unprofitable questions not vital to the salvation of the precious souls. East being the biblical direction of the idolatry, it also signifies that the message is headed toward the conversion of sinners and destruction of idolatry. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yahshua of the host, that I will cut off all the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. Zechariah 13:2. The angel measured 1,000 cubits eastward. 1,000, 10 times 100, why 4 times 8,000, why not more or less? It has been previously explained that number 10 is a symbol of the universal, and the number 4 completeness of the earth are the 4 points of the compass. Thus it symbolically denotes that the message is worldwide, and while it starts toward the east, it spreads from pole to pole and encircles the earth completely. 10 times 100 equals 1,000. 4 times in perfect harmony with the words of Yahshua. And this gospel this Yashpel, Y-A-H-S-P-E-L, of the kingdom. See, this is the message of the everlasting kingdom of David. It shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Matthew 24:14. But the marry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given the salt, Ezekiel 47:11. The marshes and the marry places represent dominions or denominations and sects separate of the mighty river, and that they shall not be saved or healed. Turn to salt means eternally lost, as was Lot's wife, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Likewise also it was as it was in the days of Lot. Remember Lot's wife, Luke 17:26, 28 and 32. And it shall come to pass that the fishes shall stand up on it from Engedi even unto Eglion. They, the two cities, shall be a place to spread forth nets, Ezekiel 47:10. These two cities reveal that the fish are caught in two places. Engedi, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, where the 144,000 are gathered, the first fruits, and Eglion, Babylon, or the world, where the great multitude of Revelation 7-9 are gathered. The diagram on the chart, page 294, represents the SDA Church, Engedi, and it becomes the house of David, and the place of the river in Eglion denotes the world, the stream from the fountain where it first starts to the east gate represents 144,000, and the river stands for the great multitude. There is a river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of the Yahweh. For the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High, Elohim, is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Yahweh shall help her, and that right early. Psalm 46:4-5. Okay, this brings us to the end of this Ezekiel's River, 47, Ezekiel 47. And we have a little bit more left for the closing out of this book of the Shepherd's Rod, Volume 2. We have a subtitle, Justification by Faith. What is it? It says, the most important subject is the simplest of all biblical truth. It has been widely confused and largely misunderstood. The example of the one man's experience in the things of Yahweh and his justification by faith should clear the widespread confusion and remove the veil which has been drawn over the eyes of the faithful, to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even Yahweh, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Romans 4:16-17. When the method pursued by Abraham is followed, then and then only can any one of us be justified. There is no other way. And if you be Yahshua's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according unto the promise. Galatians 3:29. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. John 8:39. Let us take notice of Abraham's faith, experience, and justification. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Yahweh, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and into the hole of the pit which ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, Isaiah 51:1-2. This spring, the third last step is our contact. This is the 11th hour. Call us number 11. Click on our audio archives. Hear this message and more. Let us close now. Don't let that ship sail by, but Elijah Davis.
Don't let that ship sail by, lost and mean on the shore. But it's fact to know that mighty ship is standing by the door to welcome all to come aboard. There's room for many more. on the cash ships sailed by. For she had to pay them for the livery in the sky. For the saints of all ages are riding her on high. So don't get caught standing there when that ship goes sailing by. Oh, a framed and lighted harbor, silver ships in the sky. And a ring of thunder sailing free as that sweet by-and-by. Yes, a dream about those mansions Yah has gone to prepare. And a dream that's a merry melodies in the air. Don't let that ship sail by, don't let that ship sail by, for she has a payload to give her in the sky. For the saints of all ages are riding her on high. So don't get caught standing there when that ship goes sailing by. Don't let that ship sail by while standing on the shore. For up in the time it is, there won't be any more. For the captain of that mighty ship is standing by the door. For the welcome all the time aboard destination.